for those of you who cannot handle the haircut and no shades on the same show, I'm wearing sunglasses only to help you, those of you watching on the studio cam, only to help you gradually acclimate yourself to the new look. It's not that dramatic. They say that the difference between a bad haircut and a good haircut is 2 weeks, but I think this is a good haircut. What do you mean it's not long in back? It is still long in back. See, look. No, I still have the flip going on there. Can't you see that? Yeah, I don't know. You think it's a Bob Dylan type look? I don't think so. But anyway, welcome, folks. And I left off with you on the topic of the great topic of asteroids. Now, the lighting is not as severe today as it was when I left off on the asteroids because I'm going to climb out of the abyss, the asteroidal abyss, to talk about the 144,000, because that is going to be the topic du jour. Of course, that's French for topic of the day. What is the French word for week? Because we need the topic du week. But what is it? All right, I don't know either. Oh, my headphones don't work all of a sudden, so I have these little earbuds in here so you can see my pretty little ears. I should have mentioned to you about asteroids that if an asteroid the shape of the state of Texas were hurtling toward Earth. Oh, that reminds me. I watched a YouTube video, and there are scientists, astronomers who are dedicated to watching the skies for asteroids, and there are like hundreds and hundreds of these things. And they're looking specifically for, you ready for this? NEAs. They're looking for NEAs, near-Earth asteroids, because those are the ones who pose the health hazard, if I can put it that way, the health hazard to us, the near-Earth asteroids. And as good as they are at seeing these things in space, they're unpredictable, and one could show up at any time and just plow into us. There was a Russian asteroid. I need to find this YouTube link. There was an asteroid that came down in Russia. I don't know if it was a Russian asteroid. I don't think Russia can claim this asteroid, but it did fall in Russia. And if you go to YouTube, look up Russian asteroid. There's one particular YouTube clip that puts many of the different sightings, because people have their cell phones with them all the time, and they have no qualms about recording things while they're driving. And there are many, many people caught this asteroid, I think it was last year, on film. And someone set it to music. And to me, it's beautiful. To me, seeing this flaming thing through the early morning sky, and it was around 6 a.m., and it was dawn. The sun had not yet come up, so it was still very dusky, darkish, dawnish. You call it dusky in the morning? No. But there's no light. What would it be? Dawnishy? I don't know. But this thing lit up the entire sky, and this was one asteroid. So just look for this. I'll try to find the name of it for you by tomorrow, and I want you to research this and watch it, because to me, it's poetry. Now, some of you watch things like that, and you're filled with fear and foreboding. But let me remind you, at this juncture of our study, before we launch into the 144,000, and before I finish speaking of asteroids, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are not appointed unto indignation. And I use the word unto there for a reason, because this is a profundity that I speak to you today. This is no small deal that God and Jesus Christ, both God and Jesus Christ, are protecting us, and we have a prior expectation, and we are not appointed to indignation. We are Christ is our rescuer out of the coming indignation, and we will be having ease together with Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh boy, now I got to find it. We're going to be having ease at the unveiling of Jesus Christ from heaven. And what is the book we're talking about here? The unveiling. And so we also are ambassadors of peace, I will have you know. And as ambassadors of peace, we shall be withdrawn from the scene before our God declares war. Did somebody move 1 Thessalonians? Or is it 2 Thessalonians? Yes, it's 2 Thessalonians. I can't see this with my sunglasses on. I'm starting with verse 3. Going to get back to asteroids, don't worry. But this is comfort for you, and this is going to help you see why what I'm about to tell you about my attitude towards asteroids will make total sense to you. We ought to be thanking God always concerning you. This is verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I know I've said this to you before. I know that, but you need this again. Thank God. I thank God concerning you, according as it is meet, that your faith is flourishing and the love of each one of you all for one another is increasing. Love must be increasing among you. All right? I'm not going to take, I don't like this person for an answer. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to put my Apostle Paul pants on here, and I am going to exhort you, tell you to love one another. And don't stifle love. Don't stifle it. Because if you stifle love in one area, it's going to be stifled in every area. Love is broad. Love is of God. Is this fleshly love? What do you call fleshly love? I don't know. Hugging, kissing, sending somebody a card? What? Yeah, there's sexual love. And no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying, Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss, not with a passionate kiss. So when we greet one another, we kiss each other on the cheek or on the neck. You don't French kiss someone, not on the first date, not on the first meeting. So this is the God's love versus Eros, which is erotic love. And I'm not talking about that, okay? But we can contact one another with a holy kiss, with a holy hug. No, I invented that term just now, holy hug. All right? But you can't be frugal here. You can't be stuck up, and you can't be afraid to be touched. You can't, but we're so afraid of that, I find, in the United States. Here in Brazil, people are more apt to come up to each other and kiss each other and hug each other. It's very nice. That appeals to me. I like it in the old days when men used to kiss women's hands in greetings, you know, ma chérie, you know, and it was socially acceptable. But we're squeamish today, but I don't want it to be so. As I've said to you many times, or have I? Clyde Pilkington comes, he'll kiss people on the neck, men and women alike. Clyde will, if he hasn't seen me in a while, he'll kiss me on the neck. It's a holy kiss, and it's, I like it, okay? No, I haven't worked up the kissing men on the neck yet, no. No, that's true. In Europe, they kiss men, right? Men kiss each other on the cheek, one here, one there. That's true. How did I get off on this? I didn't want to do that. So we thank God for your love is increasing, that we ourselves glory in you in the ecclesias of God, for your endurance and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions with which you are bearing. And I know that you out there are bearing afflictions and you're suffering, just like the Thessalonians of old. But we're enduring. And endurance doesn't mean anything more than remaining under. It's not pretty. Endurance does not have to be pretty. People say, Martin, you know, God is so ashamed of me because... What? Because you're not pirouetting through your trials? Because you're not throwing confetti when God smashes your head against the wall? Because you're not singing songs of praise? It doesn't say anything about singing songs of praise or pirouetting while your head's being smashed against the wall here. It just says your endurance. And if you look at that word in the Greek, it just means remain under. You're just remaining under it. You're not trying to get out of it. You're not killing yourself, in other words. I know we talked about this before. I'm getting warm back up here. Paul's really happy about their enduring their afflictions and still having faith in God during it. That's fantastic. A display of the just judging of God to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God. You're going to be thankful for these trials when you see what they result in. For which you are suffering also, we're suffering for the kingdom of God, if so be that God is just to repay affliction to those afflicting you. Those who are afflicting you are going to get affliction repaid them. When? Well, they're going to be going through the day of indignation. And you who are being afflicted, what are you going to have? Ease with us. This is verse 7. Here's the key. Ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with his powerful messengers and his asteroids, by the way. I just added that in there. In flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This from the evangelist of grace. I call this the unknown passage of Paul. These people who are persecuting you, and who are not hearing and heeding the evangel of the Apostle Paul. will be incurring the justice of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord, not eternal extermination, as it says in stupid common version. Sorry for the redundancy there. But anyway, if an asteroid was hurtling to Earth, I would welcome it. I would love it. I would hope it would fall on my head directly. Of course, like you, I would like to die quickly if I have to die. I believe I'm going to be snatched away in the next 5 minutes with you. But if I have to die, let it come quickly. And I would remove all my clothes to greet the asteroid, because I have naked faith in God. I have so much faith in God. I have leftover faith. I mean, I'd be happy to give you some, because God has given me a plethora of faith. And sometimes it's a burden to have so much faith, because it keeps being tested. But, you know, that just brings me more faith. And this blind faith is a knowing. You can't have this, what I have. You cannot have this unless you trust God. And you cannot trust God unless he has proven himself. Or you look in the scriptures and see that God is trustworthy, and he has always delivered his people. That's true, he might kill them. Yeah, that's true. But he's doing you a favor, because it has been graciously granted you, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, to be suffering evil for the sake of Christ and the evangel. So it's all being done for you, not to you. I'm going to get back to asteroids. In fact, I told you the last Friday we spoke that I was going to name some asteroids. And let's do that tomorrow. We have names of asteroids. And I'm going to point out to you the name of the asteroid that is coming in the unveiling chapter 8. We're not there yet. But back to this, back to what I would do in the face of an asteroid. I would greet it with open arms and open everything else, because I would fearlessly greet it, because nothing can come against you or me that is not preordained, pre-thought out, pre-appropriated by our Father God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all things work together at Romans 8:28 for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. That's you. You know, I thought of this morning, the Proverbs 31 woman. It says she laughs in the face of calamity. She laughs, she scoffs, because she takes care of her family. So those things which would commonly afflict a person, the economy starts to nosedive, or all these forecasts, these economic forecasts, are really harrowing, aren't they? Well, they would be to people who don't have a God and Father, who don't have a Lord and Savior. We have a God and Father. We have a Lord and Savior. So we can mock calamity. We can snub the terrible financial predictions. We can turn our backs on them, and we can greet asteroids without any clothes, with open arms, and just like, hit me, baby. You know, Jesus Christ put up no resistance during his arrest and trial. He went as a sheep led to slaughter. That's because he was a slave of his Father. He was surrendered to his Father's will. And we are slaves of Jesus Christ. As slaves of Jesus Christ, we too can greet the trials of this world, if not with confetti, but with humble acceptance, with the knowledge that nothing can come against us except what God ordains, and it's always going to be for our good. And even if it's distasteful to us, we know that it has been graciously granted us to suffer evil for the sake of Christ and the evangel. And you won't see that maybe now, but when we are snatched away and appear before Christ, you are going to be thankful for everything you went through. And it's my theory that at that time, you will see the weight of glory that came because of these trials. And you will wish, why didn't I beg God for more trials? Since this is the payment, this is the outcome. So little investment in the trial compared to the aeonian weight of glory. Think on these things, my friends, and I will be back here with you tomorrow.